Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. We've been looking at the Gospel of John, the second chapter, the marriage in Cana of Galilee, where Jesus performed his first miracle, and they ran out of wine. And the mother of Jesus said, "Jesus, they don't have any wine." So his response to her was, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." And then, amazingly, in the fifth verse, the very next verse, his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." So what's God's purpose? What can we learn through this? Why did Jesus apparently seem to change his mind? Because he said, "Well, it's not my time yet. It's, you know, this isn't your business, my business." Well, three things I'd like to share with you. Number one, faith will move the hand of God. And secondly, we see a pattern that Jesus was setting of seeking the Father's will, because obviously he did pray after his mother's request. That was his response, but then he sought what his father wanted in the situation, and the father said, "Yes, go ahead. Do what I've called you to do. Let this be the beginning of your ministry." And of course, finally, number three, it's the revelation of the Father's heart. So, we see, number one, faith moving the hand of God. And here we see an example for us that Mary had confident faith in her son. She knew, even though their relationship was changing, she made a confident request to the servants. She could no longer prevail as his mother, but she understood. Going back, she remembered what the angel said. She was beginning to understand his divine mission. Remember, he'd been gone for at least 40 days on that fast. And obviously, he was setting a pattern for us, you know, of authority. He was a good Jewish boy. He did what his mama said. He did. He set a pattern of honoring his father and mother. But there was more. The fact that it was now a time for him to begin to obey his father. And so, indeed, he set a pattern for us. In spite of what the situation might require, he was sort of on the spot, and he had to say, "Well, Father, what now do you want?" He did seek the Father's will, and the Father obviously said, "Okay." And so this miracle, when you think of it, it was different from all the others mentioned in the New Testament, because all the other miracles, you know, raising the dead or healing the sick or healing the lepers, all the other miracles were done to relieve distress of some kind, of emotions. Remember, he raised the widow of Nain. The son was raised from his he was going to be buried, and or the lepers. There was sickness, there was disease. And so Jesus, we understand, he came into this earth. He laid down his divinity and his human will as a pattern for us. What he did was not because he was the Son of God, but because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon his life. He waited for that. What was Jesus' mission? To seek and save the lost and to destroy the works of the devil. And even with the loaves and fishes, actually, there was a need. The people were there for days, and he couldn't have sent them away. They would have fainted by the way because they were fasting. And so Jesus learned submission to the Father. Hebrews expressly says in 5 and 8, "Though he were son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." So obviously after his mother's request, he prayed. And so what's the lesson for us? Beloved, there's no formulas. We like formulas, don't we? But each situation is different. We must seek God, His will, and operate in discernment and wisdom from above, that wisdom that He gives us. Not every good act is in God's will. Sometimes good acts to the wicked are an offense to God. For example, to Eli and his sons, what they did was reprehensible, and God, he ended that priestly line, if you will. So we have to be careful to and watch our ability, because we do tend to rationalize things. Jesus came to be selfless and sacrificing, but that doesn't, we have to seek God's will. For example, in my personal situation, I've known in others, loved ones, children, if you're always supporting and rescuing them, sometimes that allows them to continue in irresponsibility and avoid God's dealings with them. Remember with the prodigal son, the father didn't, lay hold of him and say, oh, don't go, son. He gave him his inheritance, and he had to experience the world. He found himself in the pig pen, and it says he came to himself. That's what God is seeking, each one of our lives. And so it's also this work, why he changed his mind, if you will. It's a revelation of the Father's heart. He gave Jesus. And in this first miracle, the miracle of the wine, he came to delight his people. It's a gracious indication of the joy that he provides by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus, his ministry was not a ministry of asceticism, as, for example, John the Baptist, but it was a ministry of joy. Wine represents fullness of joy. In fact, they came and they said, the apostles of John fast, but yours don't. He said, a time will come when they will. And in Joel, the second chapter, verse 24, it speaks of the latter rain and an abundance of the Spirit, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats overflow with wine and oil. Zechariah 9:17 says, for how great is his goodness, how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. And in chapter 10 and 7, and they of Ephraim shall be like mighty men, and their hearts shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their hearts shall rejoice in the Lord. Praise God. There's a fullness of anointing that God will give to his people. In Isaiah, the 11th chapter, it says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him quick, quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Praise God. Jesus came, when he said in Isaiah the 61st chapter, he read that the Spirit of the Lord God has appointed me because he anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He stopped short. He said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He didn't say and the day of vengeance of our God, because that is a time that was yet to come. He stopped short of that when he spoke in Luke 4:18. So he's saving, beloved, the best for last, not in quantity, but in quality, the greater works he's called us to do. And basically, his works are simply the manifestation of his character. He can only give the best as his works. And of course, that's the reverse of the world's order, isn't it? They give the best first. But beloved, the gifts that the Father gives, that Jesus gives, they only get sweeter with the passing of time. He gives the best joy, the best peace, the best hope, the best promises, the best friendship, and the best reward. Beloved, it's interesting that the Father allowed Jesus to begin his public ministry with a wedding feast. And his ministry, if you will end with one. There's going to be another wedding feast, and it's called in Revelation the marriage supper of the Lamb. And for us, we go through the trials of life. We have to endure the sufferings of Christ as he did, a lack of acceptance at times, persecution. But the best is yet to come. He saves the best for last. We can experience the bitterness of sin and repentance. It's a hard thing to admit we've done wrong, but then we have the sweetness of forgiveness and his restored fellowship with us. There's the sadness of conviction, and then there's the gladness of conversion. There's cross-bearing. We have to take, if we don't take up our cross and follow him, we're not worthy of him. But that cross-bearing is followed by crown-wearing. We may be disowned by the world. We might also be rejected of men, but we're owned by the Lord of the universe. Hallelujah. And sometimes this weary pilgrimage that we're on, we are on a pilgrimage, from death to life, from this worldly earth to a heavenly home. It does get weary at times, but we are promised eternal settlement in the promised land. Praise God. One of my beautiful, most favorite scriptures that I love is, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for them that love him." What are the greater works? Well, Jesus identified it by saying to believe on him whom God has sent. The Spirit of truth is the true revelation of the unveiled Christ, and we're to manifest God's character and life with the life that he has given us. You know, it's not how many souls that you see saved, but it's simply by being obedient to the Father and a truthful portrayal of God's character, the Lord of the universe. So what are the greater works? Well, beloved, to believe on him whom he has sent. Praise God. There's so much that could be shared, even more, in this brief passage, but I leave with you some things that we can meditate upon and grow in our knowledge and love of the Lord. I thank you for joining me. I thank you for your prayer support. If you have needs, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you for joining me. I pray for you, my UCM partners, my radio family, every day. And until next time, this is Sister Claus. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.